Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Deans, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I know you don't have to tell me you had a wonderful, super fantastic, marvelous, phenomenal, amazing, I can continue day, right? Day, evening, depending on where you listen to. You know, we love you so much here at Good Deeds. I want to take the time to let you know we truly, truly thank you for your support. All the things that I do, you always support me, and I really appreciate that. And just God bless you. God bless you. I really appreciate that because it means a lot. But you know what we do here at Good Deeds? We share other people's products and services. We actually help you shine your light to the world. And the light to the world is your dreams, your goals, your passion. You know, the reason that you were created, actually, the gifts that you have inside, that when you express them to the world, it helps people, it impacts people, and it helps somebody else move forward in their destiny. So that's the main reason that we have all the awesome things that we have been truly, truly blessed with. You know, another thing is, you know, life can have ups and downs. All of us, it's just not 20%, not 30%, not 60%, not even 80%, 100% of all the people in the world will have ups and downs, will have trials and tribulations, will have things that you don't agree with sometimes. You will have things that you can't explain. You will have things that you remember Arsenio Hall, that you do Arsenio Hall moment. You just don't know. All of us have difficult situations. And, you know, I always say the things we have to do in a difficult situation is what? We got to believe, we got to trust, and we have to walk out our destiny. That's what we have to do. We can't stop. Quitting, guess what, is not an option. You know, one thing that's dear to my heart is educating and bringing awareness to a thing. And, you know, domestic violence is a thing, you know, just a concept. It's just an awareness that we all need to be aware of. We know every 9 seconds, you heard me now, every 9 seconds in the United States, a woman is assaulted or beat, okay, every 9 seconds. So just think. While you up here wasting time doing whatever, you know what we do. We do something every 9 seconds. At least one in every three ladies have been in a domestic violence situation during their lifetime. Most often it's someone that they know or someone in their family. So we actually today will actually have a real talk session. You know, I love to have a real talk session to bring us awareness of the things that we need to be aware of, but also how we can help each other and we get the resources of the things that we need on a daily basis. We want to welcome to Good Deeds. We're going to actually have an awesome, powerful young lady. The millennials, they are really powerful. She's going to tell you some things that we actually need to, you know, we need to keep this information abreast that we actually to know what to do if we know someone that's in domestic violence or if we in a domestic violence situation as we speak. She is the overcomer. I love to call her overcomer, Melita Curtis. We want to welcome her to Good Deeds. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Dr. Sunday, for having me. Hello.
You're welcome. It's an honor and a privilege, you know, for you, you know, just taking time out because, you know, the thing about it when life happens, as you will, you know, the thing, you know, I'm from Alabama, and I always say that. You can tell by my voice. You know, it used to be like the Las Vegas scene. What happens in Alabama, stay in Alabama. But what we found out is while keeping the secrets, the things that have happened in our life, we didn't get better, number one, and number two, we didn't help the people that was around us, you know. We really thank you so much for sharing with us today here on Good Deeds. But we want to ask a question because, being domestic violence is a big topic. Domestic violence, awareness, you know, we celebrate, the month, but it should be an everyday that we actually gain information and be acknowledged of resources that we can help ourselves and people that we know. Melita, I want to ask you, you know, in your own way, what do you think, and what should, we coined the word domestic violence, what actually does that mean?
Well, to me, it means that there's violence within the family net. So meaning that domestic violence is home, family, should be something that we value, we hold dear to our hearts. That's where we're supposed to learn how to love one another, through our family situations. But oftentimes, because a lot of people don't seek help that they need, or they are afraid to talk. And back when my parents was growing up, they were the baby boomers. A lot of domestic violence was going on then within the family, and the children saw this, and then it just trickled down to the next generation. So those people didn't necessarily speak out about it. It was quiet, and it was swept under the rug. But domestic violence is actually the number one cause of death in the United States, which is very disheartening, because domestic violence doesn't have to happen. It's not like something that you had an ailment, or it was cancer, or something that was out of your control. I believe domestic violence is, it can be controlled. It doesn't have to happen. And that is what I hope to get from me speaking out and being able to talk about what happened to me, so that I can help someone else, so that they can help someone else. And then we just start a chain reaction to eradicate domestic violence.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with that. I mean, we have to speak out because, you know, and I have to give credit if credit was due, because my family and my parents are listening. What they did back then, they just did it because it was done throughout the generations, like you say, that, you know, they did the best they could on the, you know, the circumstances. But they didn't, I really truly believe, because I've had this conversation with my parents, they really didn't seem, at that time, they didn't think they were doing anything wrong by not sharing, not telling someone that, baby, I've been through this, but let me make sure, or telling their kids to beware of certain things so it won't happen to them. And I'm sure other parents, you know, the baby boomers feel the same way. But it's, you know, it's amazing though when you actually share your testimony and, you know, to help other people. But I want to ask you this, Melita. When, you know, because the statistics said, you know, of course, that it happens majority, 85 to 90% actually in women. And men, you know, of course, can be affected. But let me ask a question, because I've actually have interviewed several young ladies that have been through domestic violence. In your opinion, do you think it starts more of a, you know, verbal, meaning saying things out the way, and we don't realize that, you know, people, you know, they are saying something that really should be, you know, that we should feel is uncomfortable, but we just kind of let it go. Do you think it starts there, then it proceeds over to maybe a physical?
Oh, definitely. I think that starts with the person, the perpetrator, being very gentle, caring, you know, telling you you're beautiful, you know, just winning you over to trust them, because they have to gain that trust first. And once they gain that trust, then it becomes the verbal. Then it becomes the controlling situation, like, where are you going tonight? Why you got that? Why do you have that on? Why you always want to go spend time with your family? Didn't I tell you to call me when you got there? It's just little things. And a lot of times as women, we don't look at it. We look at it, oh, well, he's just worried about my well-being, when actuality, no. Most of the time, that's the initial kick to control you. And once they feel that they've had they gained the control over you, then that's when the hitting or the psychological, the economical, and the sexual begin. Once they've already gained that trust and they start doing the verbal and you sweep it under the rug. So that's the key. If you sweep it under the rug and you don't check it when it happens, then that's a cue to them that, okay, well, let me see what else I can do. And then they push and go forth from there.
Now, you're saying something powerful. We need to point this out because I tend to have a lot of millennials listening to, if not the live, but the archive. You know, because let's be honest. Now, we have to put a line between when someone is giving you a compliment, you know, versus someone, you know, saying things about, like you just said, Melita, so wonderfully, where are you all the time? I mean, we as ladies, we may think that's comforting, but we have to make sure. And one thing I tell, let me just say, I just came in my spirit. I always tell my niece and all my nieces that even though when you meet a young man, you still keep your identity, meaning that you still keep your friends. You still, of course, if you love your family, you always around your family, you continue to do that. And I think we, and I'm going to just be going and say it, and forgive me for being so transparent, Melita, in the audience. A lot of times we're so excited to be in a relationship that we lose ourselves. And that's actually, we need to stop doing that, ladies, because I think ladies do it more than men. But we can't lose ourselves, because if they're very interested in you, they're interested in who you are already, not, you know, changing, you know. And I know we all have to change a little bit, but you know what I'm trying to say. Your core values, that's what I'm talking about. So let me just say that correctly there. But, Melita, with that being said, the experiences that you went through yourself personally, you know, a lot of people, of course, and you know, forgive me how this may come out, a lot of people may say, well, you should have saw it coming. You should have did this and that. But tell us about that, because I know I've heard so many ladies, they feel guilty. They feel like a victim. They take all the responsibility themselves. And it was nothing on their part that, you know, led to this. They just was being a loving person. So tell us about, in your experience, you know, how we need to kind of capture that and still stay true to ourselves.
Well, I think definitely people shouldn't judge, because unless you go through a certain type of situation, you shouldn't necessarily judge the next person because you haven't been through it. I remember when I was 21, and I watched a Lifetime movie where the lady was stabbed by her boyfriend or husband so many times. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, no, I would never let anybody do anything like that to me. Well, fast forward 15 years, and I'm in the situation, but mine is worse. I was set on fire. So women are afraid to speak out and come out because of the like you said, feeling guilty, afraid that people are going to judge them and say, well, why didn't you leave? And that's the main question people always ask. Why didn't she leave? Well, if you look at it, women leave often, but it's the manipulation in the abuser who necessarily has them. So that person will manipulate you in another way. They might threaten your family. They might threaten the things that you love in this life. That's what they might threaten. And then you have to rethink the whole situation. And that was my situation. Like, my family was being threatened, although they didn't necessarily know it, but I knew it. So then that is some of the reasons why I didn't leave right away, or I was trying to think of a way to figure it out and just trying to handle it alone because I felt alone. I felt isolated, which is that's what the perpetrator wants to do. They want to isolate you from your friends and family, and they do. They want to steal your identity. And so my message to people that's not involved or the family or friend that is involved, just don't judge. Be there for that person. Love them the way God tells us to love one another. You love them through their pain, and eventually they may go ahead and get the courage to speak out and tell somebody because domestic violence, like I said, it's a silent epidemic. People are afraid to talk about it. It's almost taboo. Like, it's been going on a very, very long time, and it's still like hush-hush, which is really still disturbing to me.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Melita, you brought up something that's very powerful that we want to bring into the conversation as well. You know, when the situation, the experience that you had when it comes to domestic violence, when you mentioned that you felt alone in regards of how to reach out, how to protect your family, of course, and protect yourself and all of that. But in regards of the medical field, and, you know, I am part of the medical field, when you actually, you know, try to reach out or, you know, even, you know, when you went through the experience or even at this point now, what do you say about the medical field? I mean, are we really, as we try to portray that we are a resource to help you, or what can we actually work better on as you being an awesome advocate at this point?
Well, ironically, I'm in the medical field as well. I'm a nurse, but the medical field, I won't necessarily say that they're connected as far as like when that person comes in and they have a black eye or they have a broken arm, then yes, we should be making sure that we notify the police, making sure that we notify or give them information about maybe talking to them for one and telling them that there's help out there. There is help out there. But I didn't know that there was necessarily help out there, although I was a nurse. Because I did once call a hotline, and they kept referring me to other places, and I ended up in a dead end. Like I said, once again, I felt alone. But now that I'm an advocate, I will make sure that if people contact me, I'm on Facebook, Melita Curtis, contact me, send me a private message. I will make sure that if I can't help you, I will make sure I direct you to the right person to get that help that you need. But there's also a number, 1-800-799-SAFE, that you can always call and speak to someone. And then if you're in an urgent type situation where you're running for your life, if you're driving in a car, any quick trips around Georgia, they have a safe. They have a safe sign. It's a yellow sign that says Safe House. So you go into there and you tell the clerk you need to be safe. They have a place to put you, and that's your safe house for the time, so that you can get to, the help that you need if you're in urgent danger.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that. I'm glad you said that. Actually, that makes me kind of, you know, my audience know I'm transparent. One time my car broke down, and it was in front of a QT. That's why the man, yeah, he was very concerned. Was I okay and all of that? Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's amazing. We actually, you know, they need to actually not be by themselves. We actually need to have more safe places besides that. But I commend them for stepping out and saying that. We're going to actually put all that information on our social media and also on our website, because we need to have that information readily available in our phones if we're in the situation, and of course if somebody else in that situation as well. Melita, I want to ask you this because one thing we really pride ourselves, well, I do, as being in the media, is we actually need to be there. You never know who's listening to the live or who's listening to the archive. What if someone, after the conversation we've had today, feel that they feel uncomfortable, that they actually can relate to the definition that we have said about domestic violence? Can you speak to them right now in your own way, whatever you want to say that's on your heart? And then after that, please, please tell us how we can contact you again.
Okay. Yes, so if you're out there and you feel alone, you feel like you're in a downward spiral, as I can tell you, I went to counseling right before this incident happened to me in June, and I was seeking a counselor, and she told me about the tornado. So what the tornado is, it represents the cycle of domestic violence. It, at the beginning, it's something, the tunnel is very wide, if you can visualize with me, and then it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. So at the beginning, they may have hit you one time, or they may have hurt your feelings or whatnot, but then as that tornado narrows, things are getting worse. The things are getting worse, where it's happening more often. It's happening once a month. Then it's happening every week, every 2 weeks, every week. And to the bottom of that tornado is death. So if you feel like that you're at the bottom of that tornado, you probably are. So what I would encourage you to do is to try to break free. It's nothing like being free. I will never forget the moment that I felt free. I had the most inner peace in me when this was all said and done and it was over on June 1. That night in that fire, it was over for me because I knew that I was set free. So please, please, whatever you do, try to break free, because I stared death in the face, and I'm just so thankful to God Almighty for saving and sparing my life. I'm able to be here to testify and tell someone else. So if you are a family member, a friend, or even if you're a victim right now, I encourage you to seek help. There's help out there. That's the 1-800-799-SAFE if you're in immediate danger, but you can even call if you're not in immediate danger. There's counselors out there that's willing to speak with you about it, but you can contact me directly, and I can direct you to the right place wherever you feel like you need to go. If you feel like you need to talk to me, my Facebook page is Melita. You can look up Melita Curtis. And you could also contact me on Instagram, MSCurtis128. And I think that's it.
I just love her spirit. She's just a wonderful, wonderful young lady. I'm just, you know, privileged and honored to be part of her life and part of her family. Her family is amazing, very supportive, and her church family at Greater New Hope Christian Assembly. You know, we want to shout out Pastor Dan and First Lady Sharita. They just amazing of how they really show love, and we want to continue to do that. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we need to do that for everybody, for the people that you meet in the streets and the highways. You know, now people are so in a rush that they don't even say hello, that they don't even, you know, they don't even look up. I mean, everybody's in the cell phone. So keep in mind that we are our brothers and sisters keeper, and we actually have to bond together to help. You know, this, we got to get this under control, this domestic violence. We got to save our young people, our old people, no matter how old you are, that's going through a domestic violence experience. We are here. I have Melita's contact information as well. If you can't remember how to get in touch with Melita Curtis, you know, always contact us, and we can refer you to her and the different resources that's available. And every major city has resources. And you know, just go to, you know, go to your hospital. You know, they actually have information that they do. Just go to admission desk, the first desk you get to in the hospital, and they can give you some information. We as the medical field have a long ways to go in regards of identifying a person just looking at them if they go into domestic violence. We can't do that. We have to be a trust haven that people can actually speak to us about what they're going through, so we can help them and assist them. But Melita Curtis, we thank you so much for being an overcomer. We thank you so much for being an advocate when it comes to domestic violence. And we just love you so much, and we just thank you so much for being here with us on Good Deeds.
Oh, thank you for having me. But I want to leave everybody with one thought, well, one scripture. It sustained me and held me through. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord in all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So him, that means God. So you look to God where your strength comes from, and you can be a survivor. You don't have to sit there in the mess or the cycle. Also, we have an event coming up on October 15th is the Domestic Violence Walk at Clayton County State Park. We would like for everyone to come out and support the domestic violence move. And also, October 29th, 11 to 2, we're having a Trials Triumph conference of talking to survivors and hearing their testimonies to just let you know that you're not out there alone. And we're also going to honor those who have lost their lives in the struggle. So thank you so much, Dr. Sunday, for having me. I love everybody. Thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your continued prayers, the monetary donations, everything that everybody did while I was going through my domestic violence situation. And thank God that I am now a survivor.
Yes, amen. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Well, thank you so much for being here with us, Melita, on Good Deeds. We love you so much.
All right. I love you guys.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we have to have this real talk, okay? We got to talk about domestic violence. We have to talk about it. But we want to end the show with my good friend, minister appointed. She has this awesome single. You guys, you got to get it, okay? It's called Opposites. And what it's saying is we got to bring that opposite together. We need to actually be on the same accord when it comes to our Heavenly Father. But if you want to get in contact with us with all the things we do, from radio, TV, from the publishing company, you know that Manifestation Now book is out there. Woohoo! And also the Sunday Grief MD that walk you through a grief, difficult situation, the nonprofit organization, all those things we do is at www.reneesunday.com. That's www.reneesunday.com. You know we love you. We love you, love you, love you. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time.
Living life on the edge of expectation. Ever since my life took on a new direction, I've been living life contrary to condemnation. Because God, you had mercy on me. You revealed your Son in me. Opened my eyes and now I see. To live my life more abundantly. I'm walking by faith, not by sight, in your power and not my own might, and I live to die so you can increase and I decrease. You're wonderful, yes, oh. You are tremendous, yes, you are,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exceptional, yes, you are,
and I see, but I see.
I must die.
Hey. Do what you say.